Have you ever had a ghost in your workplace? A lot of folks have. But what happens when that workplace changes hands and then dramatically changes what's going on in that workplace? What if the ghost is not all too happy about it? That story happens in a recent EPP bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to find out exactly what happens when a bar turns into a, Lady of the Night building place type thing? Yeah. Well, hey, then check out the EPP bonus episode number 60 for that one. Sign up to get it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. It's only $5 a month to be an EPP, and your support keeps our show on the air. Please, if you like the show, consider helping us do this thing and support it with an EPP membership through the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, something lingers in the woods that still haunts the memory of a tough biker. A spirit tries a little too hard to make a visiting family comfortable. Three siblings have a frightening experience in an abandoned cemetery, and a weekend away may not be very relaxing when the hotel room comes with a ghost. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
What's new?
Not a whole lot, you.
Not much.
Attempting to make snack sausages earlier today.
It looks like a ground beef bomb went off.
It's not an easy process.
No.
I'm finding.
There's little bits of red meat everywhere.
Well, you have to take the meat and then mix it with all the stuff, the seasonings, and then the cure and gel and other shit. And to do that, I thought, I'll use the KitchenAid mixer. Doesn't work all that great with that much meat. And you have to mix it all for a long period of time. So trying to do it in batches and then take all the parts and then divide it up to do it in batches and then try and get it all evenly. It's a mess.
How are you supposed to do it?
Like that, with a mixer of some sort. Okay. Or if you're going to do it by hand, it takes a very, very long time because it's a lot. So I think batches is really kind of the way to go.
Okay. I was just curious.
Slowly learning.
Supposed to have an industrial size mixer, like one of those Hobart
industrial
kitchen ones?
I don't know. Okay. I suppose it would work well.
Yeah.
But you're going to be finding random pieces of beef around the kitchen for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know. I have some under my fingernails right now.
Ew.
I didn't kill anyone. It's just ground beef. That's all it is.
Gross.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can also write into the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. For a second there, I was like, did I just say the phone number or the website? What's the next one I need to say? So there you go. Lots of ways to get your stories to us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And of course, if you like the show, please consider supporting it and becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. That is what keeps this thing on the air. Kicking off the show tonight with a letter from Keng. Keng writes in, hello, Tony and Jenny. The show seems to be going great listening to you two and everyone's stories. I'm surprised that Tony hasn't made a commercial for edible ghosts when a viewer asked about ghosts possessing food. Edible ghosts.
I think he's a little confused because usually we talk about can food be haunted or something like that or ghosts that eat
food.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But not so much
eating the
ghosts.
Yeah. That would be would that be cannibalism at that point if you're eating the ghost and it was a ghost of a human?
I don't know
what that would even, that's a whole new idea. I never even crossed my mind. Congratulations for inserting a new one there. Then selling it with a ghost in a jar, putting poltergeist and demon away. Oh, like a big package.
Okay.
Like a gift basket.
Christmas sampler.
Yeah. It's like Pepperidge Farm. Anyway, one of my Ouija awareness stories was one of those ones that happened to a friend of friends. Him and some of his friends got together and contacted something. Got weird, so they decided to throw it away outside. The next day before he went to school, he saw a board on the front steps of his house. A little scared, he throws it in the trash, forgetting it. Of course, the next day, he finds it again at his front steps. A little annoyed, he cuts it into four pieces and throws it out. Of course, it shows up again in the same spot, untouched, still in one piece. Frightened, he told his parents about what he did. They asked around and figured to burn the board. Never came back since. Now on with the actual story. This is a story about my friend's brother when he was around 16. There was a rumor going around that a witch lived in the mountains close to where a lot of the teens would hang out. Having the mountain all to herself, no one ventured there, but being a badass, and that they were, they decided to hike up there to prove themselves. Close to afternoon, they made their hike up there. Seeing a cottage in the distance, an old lady stands in their way. She's probably 100 yards away from them. Suddenly, they had a really bad feeling. Everyone froze in horror when a creature came out of the bushes. As he described it, it looked like a really hairy ball with razor-sharp teeth. They ran down the mountain as it gave chase. The worst part was there were more than just one. Off in the distance behind them, they heard more joining in as they ran down the mountain. After a couple of hours, they lost the creatures, but also lost their way. They were losing sunlight, and they knew they were done for sure. Trying to catch their breaths off in the distance, they can hear the creatures. Spotting a graveyard in the distance, something told them, "Head to the graveyard, they can't come after you." So he told the group to make a break for it. Exhausted, scared, and tired, they made it to the graveyard. They could hear the creatures shuffling around the graveyard, but not come in. Without any other choice, they spent the night in there. As morning came, they ran the rest of the way down. When his sister found them, they were all a mess and hysterical. It took them a while to finally calm down. He never told her what happened until a few years later. He's in his late 50s now and looks like those tough biker guys, but even to this day, he's scared of those things he saw up in the mountains. Thanks for letting me share my story. I got plenty more. The next one will probably be about his sister when she and her friends mess with a satanic Bible and things go terribly wrong. Also, I just found out that my roommate's girlfriend's grandfather is a priest. He also did exorcism, so get ready for that. Love the show and keep up the great work. King from Colorado.
Do you remember the story of the... He wasn't really a paramedic, I guess, but he went up in the mountains and helped the mountain people, gave them medical treatment, and he had... Mm-hmm. A flat tire or something on the way back down, and he saw some creature come out of the mountains.
Yeah, I do recall that one.
This story reminded me a lot of that, just being the strange creature up in the mountains.
It's kind of along the same lines.
Mm-hmm.
The first part, the Ouija one, I think is kind of an urban legend or something of that nature, because it's one of those that we've heard over and over from various, and there's various incarnations of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it usually starts out, it's a friend of a friend.
Sure.
But, I mean, they probably originated somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I can guarantee it's probably not the friend of the friend.
Yeah.
They actually had that specific thing happen to them.
Okay.
But, yeah, interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. We would absolutely love to hear it. Kayla writes in, "My family and I lived in this house that my grandfather used to live in as a child with his father and stepmother, so it was pretty old. They've always been weird things in this house from the way it was built, windows between walls that still have curtains and glass in place, to other odd things such as books, toys, keys, and phones being moved around and strange sounds coming from the attic. I recall when I was about 12, what sounded like marbles rolling across the floor coming from the attic that was just above my room. We never used this room and never went up there since the only access to it was taking a ladder outside, opening a hatch on the roof, and climbing inside. The activity seemed to stop for a while, and I brushed them off as the overactive imagination of a 12-year-old. It was until we started to remodel the house a few months ago. Our house had disgusting wallpaper in the bathroom that my grandfather's stepmother had put in when she was alive, as well as gross, bright pink shag carpet that covered the floor. The night after we had started ripping out the carpet, my mother and I were talking in the living room when the clock on the wall started to move. Normally this wouldn't come as a shock, except my clock didn't have batteries. I remember because I had taken them out the night before. The hour hand rocked back and forth between 3 and 6, faster and faster, until my sister walked into the room when it suddenly stopped moving and only pointed at the six as it had been before. That's it so far. Guess it wasn't really scary, but it freaked my mom and I out. All right, and if anything else happens, I'm not yet an EPP, but once I'm not longer a struggling college student, I'll definitely become one. Thanks for reading.
Do you think the hand on the clock kept going back and forth between 3 and 6, trying to signify 6, 6, 6?
Well, it seems if it's stopping there, usually when something lands on something, that's what it's pointing at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, for example, a Ouija board. When it's moving around and it's going and it stops on something, and what it stops on is what it's signifying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's doing it 3 times.
Yeah.
And it's going 3, 6, 3, 6.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, I do. I think that's exactly what it was doing.
Okay.
I don't think there's a whole lot guessing what that was.
Yeah.
But the question is, what was doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, was this a, an ornery spirit that was like, I'm going to make them think the house is possessed by spirits, by evil spirits. And I'm just going to, because it's something I would do.
Right.
I would totally do that to someone, you know, if I was a ghost. And just to get a reaction. Like, or was it in fact something really, really very demonic and dark? That's all they have going on so far. They're pretty lucky.
Right.
I'd say that's pretty damn creepy, and be aware and keep your guard up. I wouldn't be trying to interact because you don't know what it is or where it's from quite yet.
I agree.
So that'd be my take on that one. Good luck with all that. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. You can also weigh in on any of the stories that we discuss on the show on our forum section on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. And hey, if you like the show, if you're a new listener, whatever platform it is you're listening on, press subscribe. Get all the latest episodes delivered right to you. As you know, that's what the subscribe button does. It also helps us grow in those rankings and more people find the show. It's a win-win. Everybody is happy. And all of our clocks stop going and playing the 666 game when you press subscribe.
No.
That's how it works. You subscribe, demons go away.
Right.
That's how this works. Mimi writes in, first off, just recently began listening to your podcast and fell in love with it. Now, my mother was born and raised in New Orleans, and believing in the supernatural is not new to our family. Our family went to a family reunion in Shreveport on the campgrounds of Lake, Bistino. Okay. A little local history is that it used to be a plantation, and once a slave was killed, their bodies were thrown into the lake. Well, after some time, the lake was drained and made into a campsite. Oh, God. Who wants to go camping there? Once my family reached our cabin, we all felt quite comfortable, but decided to stay. Or uncomfortable, but decided to stay. My cousin, sister, and I shared one room. My parents had their room, and my aunt had to pull out at the pull-out couch in the living room. In the middle of the night, my aunt went to use the bathroom, and when she came out, all of the sheets and blankets she slept with were folded perfectly at the foot of the bed. At that moment, every cell phone began to ring at the same time. Woke everyone up. Once we all went back to sleep, however, my cousin, sister, and I all felt a burning sensation on our skin. I felt it on my forehead like a burning dot. My sister felt a burning hand on her forearm, and my cousin felt a burning hand on her throat. We didn't mention it to our parents until my mother exclaimed that someone was standing in the corner of the room next to her bed. Even though visually there was no one there, well, you could feel a presence. My mother's mother was a voodoo queen, and so was her stepmother. She made my dad pay for hotel rooms because she could feel anger in that corner and believed we were all in danger. After that night, my mom refused to go to any family reunions in Shreveport. The end.
I think I would agree with that, too.
Well, you can go to family reunions in Shreveport. Just stay at the La Quinta or Days Inn or whatever.
Yeah.
As long as it wasn't built on a drained pond that slaves were thrown into.
Yeah.
That might eliminate the negative feeling a little bit.
I don't know if there... And, you know, it's funny because I grew up for the first part of my childhood, about 2 hours from Shreveport.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if there's a whole lot of other dark history there or if it's just around the plantations that were there.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I imagine, you know, the further you go back into history, you know, there's a lot of not so great things that were done that were fairly normal,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, I mean, and that, I mean, different parts of the country have, you know, I think different levels of horror, but I think you go around the country, there's a lot of horror
yeah.
when you look way back in time. But it would be interesting. I cannot imagine going to that campground.
Mm-mm.
That would not be all that fun. There's an interesting, what was I seeing recently? Where was it? Did you see the images of that church that's now coming out of the water?
No.
It was an old stone church. I want to say it's in Mexico or it's in California. It's one of the two. And because the water table is getting so low, this was an area that was filled in and dammed up
mm-hmm.
years ago. And now because the water table is getting so low, this old stone church is now coming out of the water because people are like, oh, my God, we didn't even know that was there.
Wow.
It's really creepy.
That is really creepy.
It's kind of it's not kind of like it. It's OK, it's really not like it at all. But we have an area near us
mm-hmm.
that they basically turned into some sort of lake or swamp or tree infested lake or I don't know.
It's a reservoir.
It's a reservoir.
That's
yes.
the word.
I call it tree infested lake because mm-hmm. it's like there's just tree stumps everywhere and a bunch of water. And there actually had been a town there, correct?
That's correct.
What, do you know what the name of it was?
Chelsea, Kansas. And it was the oldest settlement in Butler County, which is one of the older counties in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
So it was dating back to like the early 1850s, you know,
sure.
when people first started coming to Kansas. And they decided just to flood the thing out when they made a reservoir. And I think they did that back in the 30s,
okay.
I think. And there's a road with a bridge that just leads to nowhere.
Eventually you hit water on it, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You can even look at it on Google Earth.
Yeah.
And kind of follow it. And it's really creepy.
It is.
It's like, where is this going? And nowhere. It's kind of Walking Dead-ish. You're
yeah.
just kind of waiting for zombies to start. You see one way down the end of the road. That would be it. I mean, there's droughts here. It'd be interesting if that ever got low, if any of that town would ever start to rise up, where I wonder if most of it was just made of wood.
I think most of it was made of wood. There might be a few stone structures, but
maybe just some home bases that you'd see.
Yeah.
That were left. But probably a lot of it completely gone. Interesting, creepy stuff. Nothing like water going away to find a city.
Yeah.
Anonymous writes in, please, can I be anonymous for this story? No, I'm going to tell everything about you right now. This person's name is, and their address is, no, actually, I don't even have any of that. So, yes, you can remain anonymous. That's completely fine. Hi, Tony and Jenny. I've been unlucky enough to experience a lot of paranormal activity in my life, especially in my teenage years. Now my mid-20s and I still see things from time to time, but not as frequently as I used to. This story happened when I was around 13 or 14 and I and my family went to Leicester for a holiday. Did I say it right?
I have no idea.
Okay. We were staying in an old converted barn with about 4 acres of land around us. There were 3 bedrooms in the house. So straight away, I had a strange feeling coming from the middle room where my aunt and younger brother were staying and wouldn't go into this room. When I went to sleep on the first night, I could hear what sounded like a group of men having an argument in the corner of my room. It reminded me of a group of men in a pub arguing around a table. Not sure why this image came to mind, but it's instantly what I thought of. That night, I pulled my covers over my head and eventually fell asleep. The next night, I left the light on in the room, but it made no difference. As soon as I laid down, the voices started. This would go on all night. I forgot to mention there was 2 beds in this room and my nan was staying in the other one. She couldn't hear any of this. During the holiday, we decided to drive the cars around the land. I was driving with my auntie in the car, going between the house and another outbuilding, which was in construction, just a shell of a building. As we drove down, I saw someone walk across the gap in between the 2 buildings. So I stopped the car. My auntie asked me why I had done this. I told her someone had just walked past and I didn't want to drive into them. She said there was no one there. Absolutely convinced that there was, I got out of the car to check, and there was no one anywhere near where we were. The last and scariest part of the stay that happened was in my parents' room. They had an ensuite, and I was in there minding my own business when the door in front of me starts shaking. I watched it thinking it must be the wind or something, but it started getting worse and worse. I really thought any minute it was going to burst open. I could hear a mean shouting, get out, over and over. At this point, I just ran out of there into the living room where my parents told me, "You look like you've seen a ghost." I told them, "I have." As much as I'd like to put all this down as an overactive imagination, a couple things made me think otherwise. When we left the farm, we had to hand the keys back to the owners. My dad mentioned to them jokingly that they'd seen some strange stuff in there. They told them that they get that a lot. They think the place is haunted. Also, a few years ago, my family returned there for another holiday. I refused to go and stayed home. My brother was sleeping in the same room as me, and although he didn't hear anything after one uneasy night in there, he refused to sleep in the room for the rest of the trip. Sorry for such a long story. A lot of weird shit happened in the place, and getting it all on paper isn't easy. I'll write it again soon with some of the other things I've seen, including an old lady who seems to pop up every now and then and doesn't seem too friendly. Thanks, guys. Love the show.
I gotta wonder about converted barns. You know, barns are kind of creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And this place where they were staying is a converted barn, so it makes you wonder what the history of the barn was.
Yeah.
And if anything had gone on, especially, you know, where were they? New Zealand? Is that it?
I believe so.
Yeah. Someplace that it could be that old. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, situations like that where you have a property that, you know, it's very difficult to trace the history back to or of or what went on there.
Mm-hmm.
It's anyone's guess, you know, what or why these things are happening. So it makes it a little more difficult. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, like, even narrowing it down to a hotel. Sometimes you can kind of like, well, along around this time, this happened. And, you know, there's more things to go on. Barns, you know, they were used for meeting places. They were used for animal storage and raising and a lot of things, mm-hmm. you know, back in the day. So it's really anyone's guess.
Mm-hmm.
Very creepy story, though. Thanks for sharing that with us. JCB writes in, "Hey, Jenny and Tony, JCB here again. Finally be an EPP and was thrilled to hear both my stories, one in EPP episode 57 and one in the Don't Open the Door episode. I wanted to let you know I did find additional information regarding the paranormal radio show host in Mexico who died after helping a caller exorcise a demon. The more I dig into that case, the more disturbing it becomes. But after a bit more research, I'll call it in since I have been throwing Tony under the bus with Hispanic pronunciations. For now, I want to keep my word and share the cemetery incident during October that I promised in the Don't Open the Door episode. The incident takes place in West Texas, right on the border between Mexico and a stone's throw away from New Mexico. Being that one of many brothers involved in the story is part of the engineering and scientific community, I'll be changing both of my brothers' names to Roger and Mark. Roger was 27 at the time and is a gifted mathematician and engineer and is proud to flaunt around his genius-level IQ test scores. Being that his background is math and science, he considers the paranormal world impossible and is a big-time skeptic. Mark still was only 16 at the time, and I was 30. It was October 2013. I want to say probably the 26th or 27th, around 10 p.m., and we're driving around Roger's truck, and we began discussing the paranormal world and science. And it was almost Halloween, and I always get in the spirit of the season. I suggested taking a walk in an old abandoned cemetery. Roger didn't see the point, but Mark was up for it. That made two versus one, and we ended up going. The cemetery is off one of the main roads that runs along the Texas city. You can see across the border into Mexico, and also a small town in New Mexico. The cemetery itself, I assume, is abandoned because of the poor maintenance. The entrance seems to be missing part of the gate, making it impossible to close. The landscaping is mostly consumed by the desert environment, and many of the tombstones are worn out and almost falling apart. As you enter the cemetery, where the main gate used to be, there's a flagpole with the rope still on it, where they used to attach and raise the flag. We parked roughly 30 feet from the flagpole and got out of the truck. There were no clouds or wind, and it was eerily quiet. There's plenty of moonlight to be able to move around without a flashlight, but we still use the lights from our phones. We began exploring the cemetery. Some of the tombstones date back to the early 1900s and as late as the 1980s. After about an hour, my brother began losing interest and Roger began making some jokes that annoyed me a little, so I suggested that it was time to go. As we walked along the main pathway to the truck and flagpole, Roger kept making jokes, and both he and Mark were laughing most of the way. When we were about 20 feet from the flagpole, we heard loud bangs, which turned laughs into a complete and instant silence. The moonlight was strong enough for us to see the rope on the flagpole swinging, and the loud bangs were the clips on the rope that would attach to the flagpole banging against the metal flagpole. We stood frozen watching as the rope lost momentum and stopped swinging around the flagpole. We probably stayed still for another 15 seconds before we began to try to rationalize the incident. There was no one else around and it was a windless night. Mark suggested maybe an animal swung the rope. Being somewhat experienced hunters, we searched for tracks or signs of an animal, but we couldn't find anything. We also never heard the flapping of a large bird's wings, or a small bird would never be able to swing a rope like that. As the shock passed, Roger remained quiet for a long time. I could tell he wanted to find a logical explanation, but could not. For the next 2 weeks, he became obsessed and wanted to keep returning to the cemetery. We only returned 2 or 3 times, but never saw or heard anything again. I always try to find rational explanations to incidents like this, but being that I was with my brothers, one being a skeptic with a science background and a quote-unquote genius IQ, it was just as interesting to see him come up with nothing to explain the incident as it was to experience it. Keep up the good work, guys. In case I don't get to call this month, happy Halloween. Respectfully, JCB.
I think we have a lot of listeners that are a lot like Roger in the fact that they're skeptical, but they've seen something they can't explain, so they almost become obsessed with trying to find the explanation.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be why they've even turned to us to listening to our show.
Sure.
I think it's funny because there's times where you just can't. There's just nothing that can explain what has happened.
I have an explanation.
Ghosts? Yeah.
Yes. You totally just destroyed my thunder there. It's going to be, I have an explanation. Dramatic pause. Maybe even a little bit more of this. I have an explanation. Ghosts.
Ooh, that ghosts, is ghosts, dramatic.
Ghosts.
Nobody ever echo. Would have guessed you were going to say that.
Echo in it, too.
Okay.
A little echo that makes things even more exciting. Yeah, I mean, that seems to be the easier one.
Mm-hmm.
At a certain point. I mean, you can certainly try and rationalize and look for logical explanations. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we do that here, too, on this show. There's plenty of times where it's like, you're really describing what sounds like a carbon monoxide leak. You know, and the setting at all just seems to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have stories where it doesn't sound like that. It sounds like there's certainly many other things at play here. And I think that's just, you know, with us, we're to the point where we're not here to debunk things or debate whether ghosts are real or not. It is an explanation. We just kind of delve deeper into it of what type of ghost is this?
Right.
And why are they there? Mm-hmm. With the acceptance that, yep, it's a ghost. So I'm going to guess something was trying to get your attention.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not a living thing.
No.
And leave it at that. So there you go. Keep digging, though. Maybe you'll find something and prove me wrong. I don't know. Ra writes in, hey, guys, I'm a new subscriber to your podcast. I'm thoroughly enjoying them. I live in the rural countryside of the North Island of New Zealand in a very old farmhouse. Some parts of the house date back to the 1800s. Recently, my grandmother told me that during the Second World War, American servicemen would visit my house. As back then it was known as the local fancy house. In other words, a whorehouse. So my home has a colorful history. My bedroom was one of the rooms used when the house was the fancy house. It's so much better to call it the fancy house than I live in an old brothel. My mother's family is quite religious and has had the house blessed numerous times, so I've always felt at ease and peace living there. Anyway, enough backstory. When I was 9 years old or so, I was having trouble sleeping. One night, while it was just me and my mother at home, my dad was traveling, woke up in the middle of the night with a pressure on my chest, pushing down on my rib cage. We're feeling suffocated and not being able to move except for my eyes. The room was dim, but some light came through the doorway from the hall, so I could just make out the dark figure at the foot of my bed. It felt like a woman. I could make out her small frame and silhouette, sort of short hair. She just stood at the end of my bed while I lay there, unable to move. Eventually, I closed my eyes and I fell back asleep. The whole experience was unnerving, but I didn't feel threatened by her presence, just spooked. I never saw her again. I'm quite sure what I had was sleep paralysis, but I'm not sure whether or not the lady I saw was a hallucination or a shadow person. I think she was somehow linked to the fancy house days, as my room was the most used back then. How do you know that? Is there like notches on the wall? Anyway, I'd love to hear what you think and might write in some more strange things that happened to me. Thanks for reading. Take care.
I don't know how you would know that.
I don't know. Well, if I was a teenage boy and there was a ghost hooker...
Oh, God, Tony.
...showing up in my room. What?
Don't go down that road. Okay. Just don't.
Yeah, I mean, it's very likely probably tied back to, you know, the house and what went on in those days. Yeah. Thoughts?
No, I think it's sleep paralysis, but I think instead of seeing the old hag or just a shadow person, he's mm-hmm. seeing something that was, like you said, tied back to that house.
Yeah, and it may not even be, you know, a conscious thing. It may be more of a, like a residual mm-hmm. that he's picking up on or able to pick up on when he's in that state. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm going to go with that. 855-853-4802, our phone number to call into Real Ghost Stories Online and share your real ghost story with us. Christy writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I've been listening to your show for a year now, and I've called in before a while back. I love your show and everyone else's stories with the paranormal. I have a couple more paranormal stories, but there's not one for me. One night, I was watching TV with my grandma. I just asked if she ever saw a ghost. She told me no, and told me her husband, my grandfather, experienced many paranormal and demonic things, though. So I went to the kitchen and asked if he could tell me some of the stories about his experiences. He told me one night when he was in his 20s, he was at a bar. At the time, he was living in Mexico, his hometown area, and he was very drunk.
You didn't even try that.
No, I didn't. I'm just going to...
Chihuahua.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Well, that's easy enough. You see, I thought that might be what it is, but I didn't want to screw it up just in case.
I just think that's funny. That
in Chihuahua, Mexico.
Skipped it.
At his hometown area somewhere in Mexico. Anyway. Once he could sober up, he decided to head back home. So the bar wasn't that far away from his house. And to get to his house, he would have to pass a little town, which at that time was just a couple stories and a church. Once he passes through the little town, there's a big patch of land where nothing but bushes and trees were. My grandpa told me that he was tired since it was late at night, 12 a.m., and he decided to rest under a small tree. Once he got himself settled in, he heard a woman laughing. And at first, he heard it from a distance, but then he heard it closer and closer. And as the woman's laugh came closer, the laugh started getting older and more sounding like a wicked witch from the Wizard of Oz. Once the laugh came closer, my grandfather said he could see a glowing ball fly over him. He could hear the laughter. After it passed him, he ran back. And that night, he decided not to walk anymore back home from the bar. Instead, he told me he decided to ride his horse back home instead. If you like this little story from my grandfather, and hopefully in the future I can tell my grandpa's and other stories. My grandpa's other stories. Keep up the good work, and thank you for taking the time to read this. I think it might be more dangerous taking the horse through haunted territory.
Why?
Because what if the horse got spooked and you're drunk on the horse?
Okay.
That could be much more mm-hmm. violent.
Could be.
Falling off, you know, whatever.
I think the thought was you'd get home twice as fast.
Sure, as long as the horse doesn't get spooked.
Yeah, that's true.
That's obviously it sounds like he made it just fine though. So, but just thinking worst case scenario. Interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
855-853-4802, our phone number, right on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Laura writes in, hi there. I'm just going to jump right in and tell this story, which is something that happened to me just recently at the end of August. It's not the most dramatic story, but it was pretty special to me for a couple of reasons. For a bit of context, I should tell you that I spend most of my time at homeschooling my daughter, who can't attend mainstream school because of her special needs. She's a darling and great company, but it does wear you out. So every now and then, I go away for a couple of days to recharge. You guys might understand if I say my husband does work from home, but he is a composer for film and television, so I'm kind of in a studio window for a lot of the time. Anyway, at the end of August, I was running out of steam, so my husband said I should take a couple of days and go somewhere for some time out. I booked somewhere online before he had time to change his mind and was out of there. I chose the Waitomo Hotel. The Waitomo Hotel is kind of an icon in this part of the world. It was built in the Victorian times to house English soldiers. Later had a deco wing added and became a hotel. The hotel itself is hardly even a village. There's a vast network of caves with the glowworms and all sorts of underground waterways that have been a tourist attraction for over 100 years. So the hotel and a couple of shops and restaurants exist pretty much just to service the tourists. Apart from that, it's the middle of nowhere. Nowhere, albeit very beautiful nowhere. August in New Zealand is the off-season, so you can get really good rates and have the place almost to yourself. I've stayed there a few times, and I really love the place. Been left unrenovated since the late 70s, which for me just adds to its charm. There's been rumors of its being taken over and done up for the last 10 years, and I've been kind of dreading it in case it was done by somebody who wasn't sympathetic to its special character. Full disclosure, the hotel also has a reputation of being wickedly haunted. There's lots of stories about the place. TV paranormal people have investigated it, although I don't think they found anything, but like I said, I stayed there several times and never experienced anything strange, and always enjoyed its peaceful, friendly atmosphere. So I arrived on a Monday. Straight away, my heart sinks when the lovely manager tells me they have a new owner, but the place has only had a couple of rooms done up. And I think, I guess I'm lucky to catch it like this, like it is. Maybe they'll do a nice job anyway. I have a lovely day reading and walking around. At dinner, there's a large group who are a bit rowdy. Apparently, there's some business group having a shareholders meeting there, which is a bit annoying, because apart from them and one nice-looking family, there are no other guests. However, I go back to my room, and it's lovely. I'm in the older Victorian part of the building on the second story. There's a light rain going on, but it's unseasonably warm. It's so beautiful and safe feeling that I go to sleep with the window open, listening to the rain. The next day at breakfast, the shareholders look a bit hungover and tired, but they leave, as does the nice-looking family, and then it's just me. I go for a little walk after breakfast and come back with a cup of coffee, go up to my room, to find the door wide open. That's weird, I think. I'm pretty OCD about keys and doors and checking things that are closed, but I think maybe it was housekeeping. Nothing has been touched in my room, though, and there's nobody else in this part of the hotel. Anyway, I go inside, and about an hour later, housekeeping comes by and knocks politely and asks if I want my room done. I'm too chicken to ask if it was them who left my door open because it sounds a bit accusatory, so I just say, I'm fine, thanks. Go back to my reading. Later in the day, after lunch and another walk, I'm back in my room. There's nobody else on the floor. I can hear housekeeping on the other side of the hotel. They had a radio going full bore. I think I'll have a bath, so I go into the bathroom, get it running. Just about to get in when I think I'll get my book. Yes, the main part of my holiday is uninterrupted reading. So I put on the robe and go back into the room. The door is wide open again. I know I closed and locked it because I'm too paranoid to get into a bath without having done that. And it's wide open, despite having to be dragged across carpet. There's no one in the corridor. So I close and lock the door and have my bath. But now I'm thinking, At dinner, there's one other lady there. We chat. She's very nice. I head up to bed fairly early. At about 9 o'clock, I hear people arriving in the room next to me. Keep reading till about 10, when all of a sudden, my light goes out. And then back on. It's a bedside light, and I think, is the bulb about to blow? Although it didn't flicker. Just went out with a loud thunk, and then back on. Thunk. But I turn the bedside light on another side, on the other side of the bed as well. She didn't want to be left in the dark. And then thunk, both lights go off. Then thunk, they both come on again. At that, I admit I was unnerved. I sat in the bed, not moving, while my brain raced through the possibility. Fuses, pranks, faulty wiring, and then the lights went off again. And I realized several things at the same time. The lights on the TV and the wall heater were still glowing red, so it wasn't the power going off. It sounded as if someone was in the hall throwing a big breaker. You could hear it in the wall, and also I heard the people in the room next to me exclaiming as if it were happening to them as well. Lights came back on. Thunk. I thought, oh, it's the idiots next door. They're throwing some main switch and they don't realize it's affecting my lights as well. It didn't really ring true, but I got up because I thought I'll have to let them know they're turning my lights off as well. Just as I got to the door and opened it, the lights switched off and on rapidly. There was no one in the hall. There was no main switch in the hall. Then the door to the neighboring room opened and a woman said, "Is it happening in your room too?" Her husband came out looking a little alarmed and made a joke about ghosts and went downstairs to get the manager. The woman said they only had the lights on in the bathroom, but it was turning off and on just like my bedside lamps. The husband came back with the manager, who was very apologetic. The manager told the lights in her office had been doing the same thing. Not only that, but the front doors had been opening by themselves all night. She said the night before, the new owner had taken a bunch of the rowdy guests down to the basement to look for ghosts. They'd been a bit rowdy and rude, and she thought they had probably riled up some of the spirits. She said that she had apologized for the previous night's activity to whoever was turning the lights off, but she obviously wasn't going to get any more work done that evening, so she was going to bed. She told us the room she'd be in on the first floor and assured us it would probably be quiet now. We all went back to our rooms and everything was quiet, but I wasn't sure what to do. I kind of felt like I'd been told it was lights out. I wasn't sure I wanted to be in the dark. Then I thought about the peaceful sleep I'd had the night before and I realized I wasn't scared. Felt extremely weird, but not frightening. I said okay out loud and switched my lights out. I heard a distinct sound like knocking against the wall in the hall. Moving down the hall, and then there was nothing. The next day, I went home, and I haven't told many people. It's perhaps not the most dramatic story, but I feel like I was let into a secret that the hotel, it's one of my favorite places. I went there with my husband before we were married, and it really has a special character. I kind of feel privileged to have experienced this aspect of it, thankfully, in a not frightening way. Just felt like perhaps bossy, but not malicious presence. I felt like it was female. It was telling us to go to sleep now. Whatever changes the place undergoes, I think it will continue to be very special and yes, a bit spooky. Thank you. It continues to be a real pleasure to listen to, and I love being an EPP.
That makes perfect sense that something went down there and was rude and stirred up the spirits. And I bet you they're not too happy about the hotel going under renovations either.
Yeah.
So I think probably all the above. And since she had one of the older rooms, I could see it coming to that and avoiding some of the newer rooms.
Sure. I think it was just, it's making its presence known and trying to communicate in any way it can that it is there and that it's not just a human being's hotel.
Yeah.
Too. It's someone else's who's dead and lives in the basement and plays with the light switches. I'm glad that she was able to get some enjoyment out of it.
Yeah, I think it's neat the perspective she had that, you know, she loves that place so much that she kind of now has seen it on all sides.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of, I guess if you're going to want to have a haunting and kind of a place that you are fond of, and not have like a scarring experience or a scarring haunting, that'll be about, the level you'd want it to be at. Mm-hmm. Right around there, then you call it good. Thank you for the story. We really do appreciate that. Number here is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear them. Let's go to Autumn. Hi.
Okay, hi guys. This is Autumn. I keep getting cut off on the voicemail. I'm not sure why, so I'm going to try again. I had called originally about the incorporeal hands that had reached out and touched my leg, and apparently I knew shit was real because it started moving up my calf, and I asked to move back down, and it did. Anyway, I heard you guys talking about real estate experience, like, you know, while you were house shopping kind of experiences. And so I thought I'd call in and share mine. I was relocating in 2012 from the West Coast to Ohio. And my husband couldn't get the time off from work. So my mom was nice enough to offer to come with me, which is great. So I had a real estate agent already out here, and they had a list of houses for us to come look at. So we had been going around visiting various houses, and we came to one, and I know it was on the east side of town, but I can't remember for the life of me exactly where. Anyway, we walked into the house through the kitchen door, the side door of the house, and the real estate agent said, you know, just go ahead and take a look around and see if you like it. Check out, you know, you've already seen a couple houses, so you know what you're looking for. Go ahead and you know, wander around. Just come find us when you're ready to go. So I thought, you know, the first place I want to look is the basement, because I want to go check out the heater and the AC, see what kind of condition they're in. So I opened up the basement door, and I took a couple steps down. I hadn't even flipped the light on into the basement yet. And I looked down at the bottom steps of the basement, and it was as if the entire floor of the basement was just covered in black water. Like almost like the basement had flooded or something, but you couldn't actually hear anything. Like it was just the visualization of water. And it was so thick, it was almost thing at the bottom stairs. And I just felt this weight, this heaviness, this just like awful feeling. And I said, you know what, I'm not going to go down there. I'm just going to go ahead and I think I need to go now. And so I went back upstairs and I grabbed my mom and I said, nope, we're not buying this house. And she just looks at me and she's like, okay. So, and like I mentioned before, you know, my mom has always been really supportive and has never doubted me. I used to see auras when I was a kid. And I still see them sometimes, but, even when I experienced that and I would tell her about it, she never doubted me. She, you know, she never was like, oh, you're imagining things. She was always the mom that was like, okay, you know, explain to me what you're seeing, what you think. You know, she would either research it or whatever. But she, like I said, she never doubted me. So she just looked at me and she's like, okay, not a problem. So we went and we grabbed the real estate agents and we were like, okay, so we're not going to buy this house. Let's go ahead and on to the next. And so they didn't say anything. So we headed out so we got into our rental car and we're driving behind them. My mom looks over at me and she's like, so are you okay? Because you look like you saw a ghost. And I'm like, well, I'm not certain if it was a ghost, but it certainly wasn't anything good. And, she just said, well, like, you know, what did you see? And I said, I don't know, but there was something bad in that basement and they did not want me there. And she was like, okay, I mean, you know, absolutely, that's a valid reason to not want a house. So alternately, the house that we did end up moving into, I had almost the opposite experience. Like, I walked into the house from the kitchen door, and the moment I walked into the house, it felt like literally the house took a deep breath and let it out. And I almost felt like I heard in my head, oh, thank God you're here. And I just immediately felt at home. Like, I've never felt so connected to just a building before. Like, it didn't have any of my furniture in it yet or anything, but I knew immediately that was the house I was going to buy. I've never really had any experiences in this house. I feel like there isn't necessarily a specific presence, but there is definitely an energy to the house that we live in now. I don't know that I'd call it haunted, but I definitely say that there's an energy to it now. Anyway, that's it wasn't anything like super weird or anything, but just thought I'd share it. Love you guys, and
that's it. It does cut off.
Sure,
she got the story in.
Yeah.
Ooh, creepy water in the basement.
It's one of those things. Follow your intuition, because even if the house, you know, has everything you want and the list is great, but you feel really uncomfortable there, you will continue to feel uncomfortable there. Mm-hmm. Especially if you know you're a sensitive person, and that this is not just like a one-time deal.
House shopping for sensitive people is it's an exhausting experience.
It should be like a book. House shopping for sensitive people. That right there is a new book series by uh-huh. Jenny Bruschi.
Okay.
House shopping for sensitive people. That would be very interesting. I think she did the right thing. What is interesting to me is how she said that she felt like super welcomed and happy in the new place, mm-hmm. the one that she did find, which is interesting because there's a lot of times we have stories where people say, you know, they got into their house, and I'm not trying to make her scared of her new house, but we do have a lot of stories where it's like, there was something that drew me to this house. I just felt so wonderful there. I don't know why I felt so connected to this place, and then shit starts hitting the fan, you know?
Yeah.
Like the Conjuring house. Mm-hmm. They were like drawn to that house. They stayed in that house for years with weird shit happening, and they all report like, oh, we just loved the house. Like some weird connection. You know, it's like an abusive relationship with a house. Although a lot of people fall in love with homes, they feel warm and comfortable and absolutely nothing bad ever happens there. And I hope that's what happens there in her case, that it stays good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an interesting observation, the way she was talking about the home.
Yeah, but, you know, this sounds like something that she's very familiar with.
Sure.
She knows her sensitivity, so I think she's good.
I think she's good. Let us know when your cat starts getting eaten, though. Just, I'm kidding. You won't believe what happened. The house I thought was great. No, it'll be good. It'll all be good. I'm getting stared at.
No,
right now.
I just don't have anything to say. Okay.
If you like the show, please help us keep it on the air. Become an EPP Extra Podcast person. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. It's only $5 a month. It keeps this show going. And you get all the bonus material, the bonus episode, 60-some as of the point of you listening to this and its initial release, and exclusive video material as well. So as a little thank you. You'll love it. Trust me. Check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. Until next time, for Jenny Bruschi, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.